In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, everyone. There was a woman who was on her way to work one day. Or not on her way to work, she was on her way to a job interview. It was the most important job interview of her life. If she were to get this job, it would have changed everything for her. But on the way there, she was running late. And as she pulled into the parking garage next to the building, there were no spaces. They were all filled up. She couldn't find a place to park, which meant she was going to be late for the interview. So as she's driving through the garage looking for a spot, she begins to pray to God. God, just give me a miracle. Just give me a miracle. Open up a parking spot so that I can get my job. And the minute that she finishes praying, lo and behold, there's an empty parking spot right in front of her. And then she says, oh, never mind, God, I found one. I think I've used that before, but finding these jokes is harder than you think it is. But it's a perfect illustration for the letter from James today. You know, we pray all the time to God, and most often of the seven different varieties of prayer, intercession is the one that we utilize the most often. When we ask God to intercede on our behalf or on the behalf of somebody else. We want God to do something. We want God to change something. In this letter from James, you hear James saying to the people, the prayer of the faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. It seems like James is saying here that that if you're really faithful, and if you have a good enough relationship with God, then God will answer your prayer and everything's going to be just fine. But this week, in this community, has proved that to be otherwise. It's been a rough week, a terrible week. It's a week for this community, the community of Ladue, has lost two young men aged 19 and 20. One, Charlie Gillis, a member of this parish. Another, Nick Booker, a kid who graduated from John Burroughs School in the spring. Both left us way too early. This has been a rough year at St. Peter's. By next Sunday, we will have buried 25 people this year alone, 10 more than last year or the year before that. And I'm afraid to say the year's not over yet. It's been a year when I've heard of so many people who are praying for miracles. They're praying for somebody to get better, somebody to recover. They're praying for a loved one to not die, praying prayers of intercession that are real, not just about a parking space or something trivial, but that someone might be saved. This past week alone, I heard from or about hundreds of people praying that these two young men might be healed, that they might be saved. Prayers that somehow seem to have gone unanswered. Every week we gather together as the body of Christ and we pray our prayers of the people. Pay attention to what we pray for. We pray that injustice around the world may be ended. We pray for the wisdom of leaders in our nation. We pray that people that we know who are sick might be healed. We pray for those who have died. We pray and we pray week in and week out for God to intercede. We pray for God to do something. What does it say about our prayers? And they seem to go unanswered. James say that we're not faithful enough? That we're not asking the right way? Because after all, he says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. But then I begin to think about the rest of the scriptures. Think about Jesus' prayers that seem to have gone unanswered. Think of Jesus on the night before he died in the Garden of Gethsemane saying to God, God, please just take this cup from me. I don't want it. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't want it. But then he says to God, not my will, but your will be done. You know, in the psalm that we heard earlier, you hear the psalmist saying, God, basically, I know that you're with us because we were victorious, and had you not been with us, we would have lost. Take out your prayer book after the sermon and look up Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, the psalmist says, as a deer longs for the water brooks, so does my soul long for you, O God, because everything in my life has been lost. Everything's been taken from me. I have lost the battle. The enemies have conquered me. And they're torturing me. But then he goes on and he says, but God, why is my soul disquieted within me? Because I know that you're right here with me. For every psalm of victory, there is a psalm of defeat, where the psalmist is saying, God, I know that even though I'm defeated, and even though I'm broken, and even though none of my prayers have been answered, I know that you're with me. For every time that somebody celebrates some answered prayer, there's somebody else that says, God, my prayer is not answered, but I know that you're with me. Think of Psalm 123. Your rod and your staff, O God, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid, because I know that you're with me. In the book of James, James writes a short book. It's 5 chapters. What we hear today is the end of it. And all the book of James is a letter written to teach this community of what it means to be the body of Christ, to teach them what it means to be a community that seeks to follow Jesus, a community of God, a community that is driven, that is formed by this truth. And in chapter 3, James talks about gossip. And he says to the people, you know, your language, your words, what you say, they can be either the greatest tool of hope or the greatest tool of destruction in a community. The way that you talk to one another and about one another, you can either lift one another up or you can tear one another down. He says, gossip is the way to tear one another down, but prayer, lifting one another up to God, lifting those up around you that are suffering, that are struggling, that are afraid, that are dying, lifting one another up, that's the kind of thing that brings people together. That's what makes the body of Christ strong. So James talks about the effectiveness and the power that prayer has. But for James, it's not just pray for something and it will happen. God's not some genie in a bottle that James tells us. You know, when I was in high school, there was this book that became a bestseller in the South where I lived called The Prayer of Jabez. I don't know if any of you read this thing. But it basically said, if you pray just like Jabez did, if you follow the strict formula, God's going to grant you everything you could ever want. If you will just pray just this way, your life is going to be great. And I don't know who wrote that book, but that guy's life was great. He made millions off selling the sham of a theology that says, hey, just pray the right way, rub the genie's bottle the right way, and you're going to get all those things that you've ever wanted. All you have to do today is turn on the TV to one of those TV preachers, and they tell you the same thing. Oh, just follow God the way I tell you to do it. Read the Bible the way I tell you to read it, and everything in your life is going to work out peachy keen. Until it doesn't. Because we all know, as faithful Christians, that's not the way it works. If only it were, everybody would believe in God, because it would be easy. It would be the cheapest insurance policy out there. But prayer, as our former presiding bishop said, at its heart, prayer is a means of encountering the divine. when we pray together on Sunday morning, when we offer those prayers of intercession and the prayers of the people, that someone might be healed, that the world may be restored, that broken things may be made whole. When we pray for those things, we're praying that the whole world, that all those that in our community that we care about, that all of us might be lifted up into that presence of the divine. That we may be lifted up and transformed and changed. That we might become and see one another and see ourselves as that body of Christ. You know, in this last week, as we prayed for two young men, I saw this community transformed. It was amazing to figure out how many people out there were praying and were hoping and were caring and were thinking about two young men who were dying. It was a powerful thing to see how this community transformed itself, how people came together, grieving, consoling one another, holding one another's hands, praying for one another, lifting one another up, encountering the presence of the divine. And then watching how through those prayers, those of us who struggle and are sad and are grieving have found a new hope, remembering that our world is not just what we see and what we touch and what we understand. But the peace of God really does pass all understanding. Prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful and effective, not just because we get the things that we want when we ask for it, but because sometimes we get the things we need even when we know or when we don't understand that we need them. Because God's peace surpasses our understanding. So in the words of Jesus, pray always without ceasing. Pray always. Lift one another up. Be lifted that we all may encounter the divine, that our prayers may be powerful and effective. Amen.